Repairing harm, ages 15 to 19. Now is the right time. Age 19. As a parent or someone in a parenting role, you play an important role in your teen's success. There are intentional ways to grow a healthy parent-teen relationship. Teaching your teen to repair harm is a terrific opportunity. Your support in growing the skill of repairing harm can help your teen develop social awareness, the ability to understand the perspectives of and empathize with others, including those from diverse backgrounds, cultures, and contexts. They'll develop relationship skills as they learn how to mend hurt feelings in friendships or with coaches, teachers, and mentors. They'll also exercise responsible decision-making or the ability to make caring and constructive choices about personal behavior and social interactions across diverse situations, learning that their choices cause a reaction or outcome which can harm others or themselves. These skills grow your teen's sense of responsibility while improving your relationship. Some parents and those in a parenting role feel that if they do not impose punishments, their teens will not understand that their behavior is inappropriate. When a teen is punished, they often feel angry or hurt. They also may feel that your intervention is unfair or unjust as they exert more independence. This impacts their relationship with you while failing to teach them the appropriate constructive behavior and build a skill. Your teen is likely to miss the lesson you want to emphasize. An even greater risk is that the injustice they feel can lead them to hide or not share challenging circumstances in their lives that you want to be aware of. Punishment often leads to more poor choices. A vicious cycle begins in which a teen feels bad about themselves and repeats the behaviors expected of a bad teen. To interrupt this cycle, parents and those in a parenting role need to learn to actively support them in repairing harm. You can expect that teens ages 15 to 19 will make mistakes, test limits, and break rules. And when they do, they only consider their impulses and desires, and not how they may impact you or others. The prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain responsible for decision-making and reasoning, fully develops once your teen is in their mid-20s, so it is natural for teens to forget to pause before acting. Teens require support and follow-through from parents and those in a parenting role to understand the impact and how to improve things. They need to understand that they always have another chance to repair harm. This skill is developed over time and requires a lot of practice. Research confirms that teens are developing higher-order thinking skills, such as consequential thinking and linking cause to effect. This directly impacts their school, including college success, their ability to sustain healthy relationships, and their ability to take responsibility for their actions as they grow. Teens need the guidance and support of caring adults to learn these skills. Guidance on repairing harm can be challenging for many parents and those in a parenting role. Instead of a quick, reflexive response like yelling, scolding, or punishing, repairing harm takes time, follow-through, and thoughtful consideration. Yet, it can become your teen's most powerful teaching opportunity as they learn to take responsibility for their actions and begin to understand how their choices impact others. As you utilize these teachable moments, your relationship with them will be enriched. The steps below include specific, practical strategies, along with effective conversation starters. Why guidance for repairing harm? When your 15-year-old hides a failed test, your 16-year-old lies about going to a friend's house where there is alcohol available, or your 19-year-old verbally fights with a neighbor, these situations are opportunities to guide them in repairing harm. Today, in the short term, guidance for repairing harm can create a sense of confidence that you can help your teen heal hurt relationships and make up for mistakes made. A greater understanding of the connection between your teen's actions and their impact on themselves and others. Trust in each other that you have the competence to make things right after harm has been done. A growing understanding of rules and expectations. Tomorrow, in the long term, guidance for repairing harm helps your teen build skills in self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationships, and responsible decision-making. Learn independence and self-sufficiency. Build assertive communication to express needs and boundaries, which is critical for keeping them safe and ready to deal with peer pressure. 5 steps for guiding your teen to repair harm. This 5-step process helps you guide your teen to build the skills necessary to repair harm when they make poor choices or mistakes. The same process can also be used to address other parenting issues. Here is a tip. These steps are done best when you and your teen are not tired or in a rush. Here is a tip. Intentional communication and a healthy parenting relationship support these steps. Step 1. Get your teen thinking by getting their input. A teen's behaviors are often influenced by their feelings. Feelings are spontaneous reactions to people, places, and experiences. Feelings are not right or wrong, but your teen's behaviors may be helpful or harmful in meeting their needs and supporting connections. Though they may act on a feeling in a moment that harms another through words or actions, they likely won't consider the impact on others until the harm is already done. You can help your teen start understanding their feelings by asking open-ended questions and gaining input. You can better understand why your teen is behaving in a certain way. You can teach your teen how to understand their impulses and feelings, which will help them manage their behaviors. You can grow their self-control, self and social awareness, and problem-solving skills. Actions. Teens ages 15 to 19 are still learning to understand their feelings, other people's feelings, and how their actions affect others. Consider that adults sometimes do not realize the complex emotions they are feeling. They will need your support to figure this out. When you and your teen are calm, reflect on their feelings so they can be prepared to help. Ask yourself, does my teen have an unmet need? They might need someone to listen or give them attention, some alone time, or some help so they can be successful at something they are trying to do. You can ask them about how they are feeling. I noticed your face got red. So when you said unkind things to your sister, were you frustrated? I saw your friend leave you after school to talk with someone else. I wonder if you are feeling sad. After validating their feelings, you can also ask how they think others might be feeling. When your friend walked away, how do you think they felt? When you said that to me, how do you think that made me feel? If your teen is not receptive to thinking about how the other person feels, that likely means they do not feel heard. Once your teen feels seen, heard, and validated, they are more likely to be able to consider the person they hurt. Use your best listening skills. Listen closely to what concerns your teen most without projecting your thoughts, concerns, and feelings. Explore the mind-body connection. In calmer moments with your teen, ask, "How does your body feel now?" See how descriptively they can list their physical signs of well-being. Now ask, "How does your body feel when angry?" Every person's physical experience will be different. Find out how your teen feels. Sometimes it helps to identify the physical symptoms you've observed. I've seen your face get red. Do you get hot when you're mad? Making the connection between those symptoms and the usual feelings they are having helps raise their self-awareness and notice sooner when their upset emotions are triggered. Here is a trap to avoid. Remember that teens can be susceptible to any judgment. They will notice the tone and feeling behind your words. Avoid letting the question turn into an accusation. Remember to stay calm. Remind yourself that the goal of the question is to help your teen uncover feelings. Step 2. Teach new skills. The fundamental purpose of repairing harm is to grow the skill of taking responsibility through constructive action, such as healing hurt relationships and mending broken objects. Learning new skills and behaviors requires modeling, practice, support, and recognition. Learning to understand your feelings and behaviors when your teen misbehaves is a great way to start. It will help you understand what they are learning to do. You might ask, "Do I get angry when they act in a certain way? How do I respond to my anger? How do I want my teen to respond when they feel angry?" Learning about your teen's developmental milestones can help you have reasonable expectations for your teen. 15-year-olds may feel sensitive to criticism and preoccupied with peer impressions. In their push for greater independence, they continue to require guidance, rules, and boundaries from adults. Still, they may test those rules or intentionally break them as they experiment with their limits and growing identity, which can lead to intentionally or unintentionally causing harm. 16-year-olds may feel more confident. They may have new goals outside of school, and along with them, stress and worries. They might be tempted to stay up late studying or socializing, but that lack of sleep challenges their self-control and ability to manage anger and anxiety in healthy ways. 17-year-olds may become highly focused on their academic and life goals and the stress of adult choices ahead. Conflicts may arise with you as they assert independence but also feel fragile, vulnerable, and scared of their future adult lives. 18 and 19-year-olds are considered emerging adults. At times, they may exude confidence, while other times they may feel highly insecure and run to you for comfort and security. Though they may face conflict with you as you renegotiate your relationship with an adult son or daughter, they'll also face their own internal conflicts, wanting to rely on you while needing their independence. Teaching is different than just telling. Teaching builds basic skills, grows problem-solving abilities, and prepares your teen for success. Teaching also involves modeling and practicing the positive behaviors you want to see, promoting skills, and preventing problems. This is also an opportunity to establish meaningful, logical consequences when expectations are unmet. Here is a trap to avoid. It can be easy for parents or those in a parenting role to scold a teen who has made a poor choice, inducing a feeling of shame. Instead, we want teens to feel empowered to take steps toward making something better. Remember that teens are their own worst critics and may already have intense messages of failure generated in their self-talk. Calming down first will take the heat out of your tone and send the message of support for guiding them toward a better decision. Actions. Recognize and reinforce healthy, constructive decision-making. Each time your teen makes a choice that impacts them, you, or others, and involves their careful consideration of that impact with an attempt not to harm, recognize the challenge and the thoughtfulness involved in making good decisions. At a calm time, brainstorm healthy coping strategies to deal with impulses or complicated feelings. These include exercising like walking outside or riding a bike, getting a glass of water, talking to a friend, writing in a journal, or listening to music. Normalize expressing feelings. Teens can become private about their social lives and their inner experiences, yet they need a safe, caring environment where they can share their feelings. Offering a listening ear with non-judgment helps create that trusted space. Sharing your honest feelings models the behavior. Model assertive communication through I messages. Here's how. I feel, insert feeling word. When you, name the words or actions that upset you. Because, state the impact. Here's how it sounds. I feel sad when you say hurtful things to your brother. It hurts his feelings. This helps you take responsibility for your feelings while avoiding blaming language like you did, which closes down the mind and ears of the other. It helps communicate the problem constructively. Teach your teen how to repair harm. When they hurt a sibling's feelings, talk to them about what they could do to help heal the relationship, such as apologizing, doing an act of kindness for the other, writing a note, or offering a hug. Give them options from which to choose. You can gently suggest that your teen apologize, but avoid forcing your teen to say, "I'm sorry." Model repairing harm. All parents and those in a parenting role make mistakes and have moments when they wish they had parented differently. Use those moments to show your teen what repairing harm looks like. Some parents and those in a parenting role may fear that apologizing to their teens will compromise their authority. Instead, you are modeling how to repair relationships and build a strong connection with your teen. Here is a trap to avoid. If you tell or even command your teen to make an apology, how will they ever learn to apologize with feeling genuinely? Apologizing or making things right should never be assigned as a punishment, since then the control lies with the adult and robs the teen of the opportunity to learn the skill and internalize the value of repairing harm. Instead, ask your teen how they feel they should make up for the hurt they've caused and help them implement their idea. Step 3. Practice to grow skills and develop habits. Practice can take the form of cooperatively completing the task together or trying out a task with you as a coach and ready support. In the case of repairing harm, following up with your teen and helping them to make things better after a poor choice will offer this kind of rehearsal. Practice is necessary for teens to internalize new skills. Practice makes vital new brain connections that strengthen each time your teen performs the new action. Actions. Accept feelings. If you are going to help your teen manage their most difficult feelings, it is essential to acknowledge and accept them. When your teen is upset, consider your response. Instead of focusing on their actions or the problem, focus on their feelings first. You could say, "I hear you're upset. What can you do to care for yourself right now?" Use "show me" or "I know you can" statements with a positive tone and body language to express excitement and curiosity. Teens are exerting their independence often, so give them that chance. Say, "Show me how you can heal your relationship with your sister," or "I know you can make amends with your friend," offering the confidence that your teen can manage their relationships. Offer limited and authentic choices. offering them a choice, even if small. Do you want to talk to her directly or write her a note? Can return a sense of control to their lives and underscore that they are moving toward independence. It also offers valuable practice in responsible decision-making. Recognize effort using I notice statements like, I notice how you went back to your sister to talk to her after you fought to improve things. That's how you heal the relationship. Practice deep breathing. Because deep breathing is such a simple way to assist your teen anytime, anywhere, it's essential to get plenty of practice to make it easy to use when needed. Follow through on repairing harm. When your teen has caused harm, they need your guidance, encouragement, and support in following through to repair it. They may need you by their side through that process, and that's okay. They are learning the invaluable skill of responsible decision-making. Here is a trap to avoid. Now that your teen is almost an emerging adult, the risks they are involved with and the harm they can cause can become more damaging. If more serious harm is caused, don't give up on the teaching methods in this tool. More damaging harm requires just as much, if not more, teaching, practicing, and supporting as possible to guide your teen in repairing the damage. It will also need your self-management skills as you manage your feelings. Here is a tip. If the harm caused is serious, for example, law-breaking, injuring another, injuring self, and persistent, you may want to consider whether your teen needs the support of a counselor to work through the root causes of the behaviors. Step 4. Support your teen's development and success. At this point, you've worked with your teen to develop some new strategies. You've practiced together. Now you can offer support when it's needed by reteaching, monitoring, coaching, and when appropriate, applying logical consequences. Actions. Ask key questions to support their skills. For example, you are going to see Julie today. You were upset about your last interaction. How will you tell her you are sorry for your words yesterday? Promote an I can belief. Teens still need to hear that you believe in their ability to mend their relationships. Be supportive of their friendships. Close friends can be an invaluable source of empathy and support for your teen. Reserve your judgment and coach toward making amends. Stay engaged. Working together on ideas for trying out new and different coping strategies can help offer additional support and motivation for your teen when tough issues arise. Apply logical consequences when needed. Logical consequences should come soon after an inappropriate behavior and need to be provided in a way that maintains a healthy relationship. Rather than punishment, a consequence is about supporting their learning process and avoiding harm. First, get your feelings in check. Not only is this good modeling, but when your feelings are in check, you can provide logical consequences that fit the behavior. Second, invite your teen to discuss the expectations established in step 2. Third, consider a logical consequence of their actions as a teachable moment. Be sure to consider the following questions before making your decision. 1. What will you teach with this consequence? 2. Has a natural consequence already taken place, such as a friend turning away, a broken device, or a failed grade? Sometimes the natural consequence is more than enough, and parents and those in a parenting role don't need to impose yet another. 3. Will the logical consequence be connected to the poor choice so that you can teach cause and effect with the action? Learning to repair harm after making a poor choice takes time. Teens may need your ideas, support, and guidance several times since each situation will be unique. That's okay. What's important is that you work to understand their feelings, teach new behaviors, and practice, all the while maintaining a healthy, supportive, loving relationship with your teen. Your healthy, supportive, loving relationship with them is most important. Step 5. Recognize efforts. No matter how old your teen is, your positive reinforcement and encouragement have a significant impact. If your teen is working to grow their skills, even in small ways, it will be worthwhile to recognize it. Your recognition can go a long way in promoting positive behaviors and expanding your teen's confidence. Your recognition also promotes safe, secure, and nurturing relationships, a foundation for strong communication and a healthy relationship with you as they grow. There are many ways to reinforce your teen's efforts. It is essential to distinguish between 3 types of reinforcement: recognition, rewards, and bribes. These 3 distinct parenting behaviors have different impacts on your teen's behavior. Recognition occurs after you observe the desired behavior in your teen. Noticing and naming the specific behavior you want to reinforce is key to promoting more of it. For example, you talked with your teacher after you lied about doing your homework. I love seeing that. Recognition can include nonverbal acknowledgement such as a smile, high five, or hug. Rewards can be helpful in certain situations by providing a concrete, timely, and positive incentive for doing a good job. A reward is determined beforehand so the team knows what to expect. It stops any negotiations in the heat of the moment. A reward could be used to teach positive behavior or break a bad habit. The goal should be to help your team to progress to a time when the reward will no longer be needed. If used too often, rewards can decrease a team's internal motivation. Unlike a reward, bribes aren't planned ahead of time and generally happen when a parent or someone in a parenting role is in the middle of a crisis. While bribes can be helpful in the short term to manage stressful situations, they will not grow lasting motivation or behavior change and should be avoided. Here is a trap to avoid. It can be easy to resort to bribes when recognition and occasional rewards are underutilized. If parents or those in a parenting role frequently resort to bribes, it is likely time to revisit the five-step process. Actions. Recognize and call out when things are going well. It may seem obvious, but it's easy not to notice when everything is moving along smoothly. Noticing and naming the behavior provides the necessary reinforcement that you see and value your teen's choice. For example, when teens complete their homework on time, a short, specific call-out is all that's needed. I noticed you called your friend to apologize for the mean words that you said. Nice job. Recognize small steps along the way. Don't wait for significant accomplishments, like the full bedtime routine going smoothly, to recognize effort. Remember that your recognition can work as a tool to promote more positive behaviors. Find small ways your teen is making an effort and let them know you see them. Build celebrations into your routine. For example, after getting through your bedtime routine, snuggle and read before bed. Or, in the morning, once ready for school, take a few minutes to listen to music together. In closing, engaging in these five steps is an investment that will strengthen your skills as an effective parent or someone in a parenting role on many other issues, and develop essential skills that will last a lifetime for your teen. Through this tool, teens can become more self-aware, deepen their social awareness, exercise their self-management skills, work on their relationship skills, and demonstrate and practice responsible decision-making. Center for Health and Safety Culture, 2024, Repairing Harm, ages 15 to 19, retrieved from https://www.toolsforyourchildsuccess.org. Copyright 2024, Center for Health and Safety Culture at Montana State University. This content does not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the Tools for Your Child Success communities, financial supporters, contributors, SAMHSA, or the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.